Broken armor a year back. Baron knows what we got. Knows we got enough to stop him looking for a firefight. Maybe beat us, but take Nox did it cripple him. So it's standoff.
Ryan was fascinated by the boy's talk about his plans for West Lowellton and Lafayette, once the tyrannical fist of Termon was removed from the land. It revealed a spirit that somehow reinforced all the good things he and Christie had talked about. Why it was important that they didn't give up. Why there was a point in going on. Because there already was a kind of future. All a man could do was strive to make it better. Move on through the land and leave it just a little cleansed.
Lafayette's got big library, lots of books, old vids. Got the viewers working again. We got big plans, Ryan. Set up windmills to bring power. Got some gasoline, but not enough. Baron don't have that much gas. We can make electrics with wind. There's ways using tides and all. We gotta try.
Most certainly. What you say, young fellow, is feasible. It can be done, but only if you have peace.
Jack nodded his head, the veil of fine white hair floating about his narrow face like a drift of snow.
Sure, that's it. But we can't beat Tomon, less than we got help.
From us?
Yeah. We help get women back, you come in with us, and wipe out the giant.
And set up your windmills?
That not all, you outland stoop. Drain the bayous, bring back good land for crops. Stop the way we live, moving and blasting and eating and moving on.
A classic piece of optimistic sociological growth, gentlemen. Boy wants his people to have time and freedom to make the quantum leap from being primitive hunter-gatherers to having a settled agrarian culture.
That what we want, old man. You understand all them words? I read them, taught myself. I heard them words. Yeah, that's what we want.
Ryan sat quietly, listening and thinking. This raggedy kid, probably not yet 20, had plans and ideals like nothing he'd heard before. Not in all his time in Deathlands. If ever they had found a case, a reason to live, this could be it. He blinked his good eye as he realized that for a moment he'd forgotten about Christie and Laurie. So deeply had he been affected by this broad picture of purging the area of Baron Tormont and his evil.
You help us with the women, and we'll help you. That the deal?
Sure. We got a base in an old vid house a mile from here.
Kid?
Yeah?
You run this pocket army?
Yeah.
How come a kid like you is Boss Blaster?
Shoo. Killed more Sekhmen than anyone else.
Baron Tormont unzipped his pants and unpeeled his member, holding it in his right hand, standing near the head of the table where Laurie was tied. Christie winced as the massive man slapped Laurie across the face, the blow as sharp as thunder. The girl's cheek reddened, and blood trickled from her nose. Her eyes rolled in their sockets, and she moaned, knocked stupid by the force of the blow.
Keep it quiet, whore. I'll have every tooth in your jaw knocked out with a hammer. Then I'll fuck you in the mouth so hard you'll feel it in your fucking guts. It'll choke you to death if I don't drown you when I come. So, why not be good?
Christie started to flex her muscles, ready to draw on her secret power, knowing that she could snap the cords and maybe even take the towering Baron. And after that? After that, they'd be alive, and he'd maybe lie iced on the floor. But the Baron stepped away, pushing his erection back out of sight.
Later. Right now, it's questions and answers. Then it can be pleasure.
Want a hit of this brandy, Jack?
No. Best we go and meet others. Talk battle plan. Not much time. Baron is away with women. It's fast and ugly.
Ryan stood up, stretching, holding the G-12. Jack Lauren glanced at it.
My eyes saw that. Said it wasn't like any normal blaster.
50-shot automatic. Caseless bullets. Carry them in pockets. 4.7 by 21 mil. No recoil, and it's real quiet. Single, triple burst, or continuous. Night sight. Nice gun.
Ryan didn't mention their reserves of ammo back with their clothes and supplies at the gateway. The boy looked at the gun enviously.
Whew, 10 of those, and we wouldn't need your outland help.
How do you know where we come from?
Out the swamps. The old secret place. There's stories our fathers told that one day folks would come from there and help us. Has to be you.
Huh. Let's go, then. One other question?
What?
How old are you, Jack?
14, last midwinter.
Lori's left eye was closed shut, purpled with a deep bruise. Her panties were around her knees, and her thighs were both scratched and bitten. The blouse was torn open, baring her breasts. Her pale skin showed bloody furrows, narrow as coffin nails. Christy was yet untouched. Baron Termal loomed over her, grinning, his hands working like steel traps. She looked directly into his eyes.
I have the Earth power, and I swear by Gaia that if you harm me, I'll kill you.
He straightened and left her, staggering clumsily on his steel-bound legs.
You threaten me!
He was unable to hide his shock. And also, Christy noticed with a grim satisfaction, unable to conceal a touch of fear. As he paused on the threshold, he looked venomously at Christy.
Lay the firehead. You'll beg for death after... after you tell me.
Tell you what, cripple?
Tell me all I want.
Christy had a little of the gift of doomseeing, and she realized that Termal also had something of the gift. Or the curse. He must know about them. That was partly how he'd got to them. But if he had questions, then he had only some of the answers.
You know nothing. Nothing. You would torture women to pierce your own blindness.
What?
You fear the Snow Wolf boy. And now you fear all of us.
Oh, I have you and her. Soon I will have the other four.
So Finn had escaped. That piece of information in itself was a small victory for Christy.
A mouthful of dirt and slime is all you'll have.
The Baron swayed on the tensioned struts and webbing that enabled him to stand upright on his weak legs. His fingers on the aluminum handle of the door of the cellar, he looked back at the two women, helpless on the tables.
I see. And who will dare to deliver this dirt and slime to me, you gaudy slag?
The one-eyed man.
The door of the cellar slammed with such crazed violence that the lock splintered apart as the Baron burst out, away from the girl. Christy and Lori were left alone to wait. Once inside the Adelphi Theater doors, Doc Tanner closed his eyes, standing still, hands folded in front of him. Like a pilgrim reaching the shrine of a blessed saint, he seemed transfixed with a deep religious awe.
Good Lord.
What is it, Doc?
Oh, you should have said to me, "What's up, Doc?" That would have been right. But forgive me, Finn. I know I ramble on.
Tell us about it, Doc.
Something wrong with him?
Nothing's wrong, young man. Nothing. It's just that I can recall things you... got a speck of dust in them. No, it's just walking in this establishment brings back such a flood of memories. Oh, my dear Emily, how she... Give me pause, gentlemen.
Ryan, JB, and Finn looked away, embarrassed by the old man's weeping. Jack Lauren and several of his tatterdemalion gang looked on, bewildered.